You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
I really don't know of a more fitting but also extremely generic way to title a series about a robbery than just "This is a robbery." So we are reviewing the new Netflix true crime docuseries. It is another piece on the pile of "We really want to be the next big sensation." This is a robbery, the world's biggest art heist. It's 4 episodes long. It is directed by Colin Barnacle, who probably got made fun of a lot as a kid, and
I had the same thought.
He just keeps hanging on. I don't know what to tell you.
So I am Davey, and with me to discuss, we got one person for each of the 4-hour-long episodes that this show apparently needed to have. With me is Rose.
Hello.
And Harmony.
Hello.
And Elliot.
Yo.
All right, so in 1990, on March 18th, at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, Massachusetts, a Rembrandt painting and a bunch of other priceless works of art were stolen, totaling 13 works of art. Priceless, nice works of art. Some of them, they do show the exact prices, which makes the description even funnier. What did we think of this story of the world's biggest art heist? Is this the Monuments Men, or is this kind of bad, like the Monuments Men?
I was really excited to hear that they were making a documentary about this, because this is something that I have been very interested in ever since I became aware of it as a teenager, which at that point, the robbery wasn't then yet 20 years old even. And I thought it was pretty damn comprehensive. Like, I had always heard off and on about, you know, potential mob ties and this and that, and it went all the way into every single tiny little possible mob connection it could have. I mean, that was fascinating to me. And there was one point early on where they were interviewing former museum employees that worked there at the time that it happened, and I got such warm, fuzzy feelings of them talking about how, you know, they came to regard some of the paintings as like their friends that they could share secrets with, and how nice it was to be around them every day, because I used to do that. I used to work in a museum as one of those people that would stand in the corner and tell people, hey, don't touch that. And yeah, I get exactly where they're coming from, because I had friend paintings too. So it was just like,
Well, that's nice. Did you do it?
No. I mean, my lawyer has advised me not to say anything, okay. So.
I watched it all in one sitting, so I was very proud of myself for doing that, because sometimes it's very hard for me to find 4 hours of just to watch something. I rather enjoyed it. It's definitely a Netflix documentary. Like, they all kind of look the same. You know what I mean? Like, they, like, it was like this and Tiger King. Yeah. Were they directed by the same person? I don't even know. But like, I'm like, no, this is definitely a Netflix documentary. I like how they did it though. Like, documentaries, I think are really hard to break out of any kind of mold. Like, they're a documentary is a documentary. Like, there's very few that are just like, oh, that's amazing, they've never done this before. But yeah. I liked how they did things in here. I thought it was pretty cool. So, what I really liked was the reenactments that they would do for the things like the audio that we have. We have audio of the, of like some of these conversations and stuff like that. And it was just, like you said, so comprehensive. And they really, I thought, brought it to life, at least for me.
I gotta say, though, with some of those audio recordings, I am so glad they had subtitles on them, because there were some of them I was like, do you record this through a paper bag inside of another paper bag inside of someone's shoe across the street? Like, I cannot hear the words that are on screen at all.
Yeah, definitely put subtitles on.
Yeah, and when you add that with the world's thickest Boston accents, it just makes it It felt like a joke. It felt almost offensive.
Yes.
there were a couple people early on. I forget one guy if he was a detective or a security expert or what, but he, I believe he just straight up infused Wicked into a sentence with that accent. And I was
like
that SNL sketch.
I love it. Elliot, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I was, I also watched this on one sitting, and I was maybe a little bit more down on this. I think it's you know, not to use a contradiction, but it's overstuffed and kind of overlong. I had never heard of this before until signing up to review it. And yeah, like you were saying at the beginning, Davey, I still feel like I have no idea what even happened, really. it's all just like, I don't know. Like, maybe it was the security guards, and maybe it was the Irish mob, and maybe it was the Italian mob, and maybe it was none of those people. And at one point they're entertaining the theory that it's, like, some thieves that just, like, decided to do this one night. It's very Netflix documentary, which is why I was never not kind of at least sort of engaged with it, but I think the worst I can say is I still don't feel like I know much of anything.
I also got really into it at one point, like, in like, I'm older than you, Rose, but like at some point I heard about it in like middle school or high school, and the Sea of Galilee, Christ, how do you say the whole thing? Christ during the story of the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, it's a long title. I've seen that picture, like, not in real life, but, you know, like, I've seen reproductions of it. I don't know where it is, but for a while I was like, oh yeah, and then every time I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the one that's missing. So I mean, so I kind of thought that was interesting, and it was it really, for me, because I already did know a little bit about it, I knew that no one's ever been prosecuted for it and they don't know where the paintings are. It was really kind of cool to hear more of the background information about it. And I liked how they, you know, set up where, like, the first episodes, the actual heist, and then the subsequent episodes are kind of that, okay, well, here's our theories, you know, and then, you know, what was the aftermath and what, you know. So I thought that was... that made sense for the show.
Yeah.
I will say, though, after they focused on, like, the 13th mob connection, if it could have been this guy or it could have been this guy that was trying to take out
my eyes
were kind of glazing over just a little bit.
There are so many names just dropped, and it's...
so many bobbies.
It's not that... Yeah. And it's not that the show isn't compelling and isn't incredibly well-produced and incredibly slick, but it's a true crime documentary. There is kind of that expectation for maybe a little less attentive viewing. And if you aren't completely glued to the screen, there are just going to be a lot of names that get thrown at you that you might never really pick up on. And I think that was probably my biggest issue with the series, kind of echoing what Elliot said. It's long and it is very thorough, but I never felt the emotional connection that I really wanted to. Outside of those certain moments, like Rose, you mentioned when they're talking about the paintings kind of being this, like, spiritual thing for the people in the museums. It's a beautiful moment. And also, whenever they just show the Rembrandt painting, it's like, fuck, that's just really good. It's just a good thing that a human made. And it makes you feel really good about being a person for a second. And I wish we had felt some more of that, because that's kind of what I felt this was lacking, was why is this important outside of the monetary value? Give me a reason to care about this on, like, the artistic, cultural level. I felt like this was great journalism and a mediocre documentary.
Gotcha.
There was another part where a different person was talking about one of the things that she loves to do is just to stare at them as close as she can get to look at the brush strokes and all the little imperfections in the painting and know that this famous artist did that. Like, it's kind of a weird thing to explain and understand, but again, that could have been me saying that, because that's one of the things that I myself got into doing when I worked at the museum. We had a few very famous pieces by very famous artists, and I would just, when it was kind of a slow day, just stand there in awe, just staring at the painting going, they made this. Like, is anyone else seeing this? This is, oh my god.
Their hand was right here, and it's made.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
I kept thinking, you know, at about halfway through the second episode, that there must be a podcast that does this story better in, like, an hour and a half or something. because I feel like most of these Netflix documentaries have already been covered by podcasts, you know, for better or worse.
Where do you think they got the idea?
Yeah, exactly. And as to the theories, it felt like they sort of did it in a way like someone was dumping out a jigsaw puzzle. and, you know, and I get that this jigsaw puzzle is missing quite a lot of pieces, but it was, you know, yeah, they kind of dumped out the jigsaw puzzle and put maybe 10% of it together, and you're not even necessarily sure if 10% of those pieces fit together. This metaphor is really about to get tortured. so I'm going to stop.
Power through it.
I don't want to be too down on this movie. It's slick. It looks good. It is very convoluted. You kind of have to pay close attention because, yeah, there's a lot of information being thrown at you. A lot of Boston accents, a lot of Italian names. You know, maybe this should have been a Scorsese movie with, you know, some embellishments thrown into the story or something.
I was going to ask, like, what do you think would have made it better, like, for you personally?
I don't know. You know, a bit more focus. You know, maybe even just dropping a few of the theories that never, you know, that, you know.
Well, I think what they were saying...
Maybe they want to cover their tracks in case, you know, down the line the case gets solved. And they're like, aha, we did.
That was theory number 45.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I think there's also missing a lot of elements with the individual people that they're talking to. Because whenever you get someone talking for a decent amount of time, some really good nuggets come out. There's also a really wonderful moment with the lawyer of one of the suspects where he's talking about being in the hospital room with the suspect and just the defeatist feeling of trying to figure out what's going on. And I wanted so many more moments like that that made me care, because I'm not going to remember his name, but I am going to remember how he said some of those lines. I don't watch a lot of true crime. I wanted to do this one because art is cool and I like art history stuff. But the last one I watched was I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which might be the best true crime series ever made. And so thinking about that when I was watching this, all that came to my head was just, I don't care about these people. I care about, in a sense, if they did it and if they get the art back, but my caring about the art is just me knowing that Rembrandt is important. I wanted so much more of a reason to care. I wanted it to be slightly less good journalism and slightly better documentary, which is it's a weird position to be in, I think.
That makes sense, though.
Absolutely. I think for me, I would have liked Yeah, it was a bit long. I think that might be my only like real thing about it is that, but I enjoyed it as it was. So I don't know. I'm not a film person, so we'll see.
What?
What? I'm not a film person. Like I'm on here like to have fun.
Hey, that's valid.
Yeah, I never went to film school.
It's a fun place.
I never went to film school. Yep.
Okay, film school is meaningless. My degree is right there, and it doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Yes, but I've been are qualified for this. So we can go into this right now that Chris asked for somebody who was not a het cis white male, and I'm like, I'm not any of those things. And then he's like, yeah, go ahead and go do a review. That's what happened.
I mean, hell yeah. But also, I've been on reviews with you. You're good at this. So aww. I don't understand where the I'm not a film person thing is coming in, because I think that's bullshit.
David, you and I can go to therapy. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll work it out.
I'm already there. Okay. What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
That painting that Elliot stole and is hanging behind him right now?
Oh, yeah. Elliot, what's your Boston accent Italian mob boss name?
Boy, you really put me on the spot here.
Yeah, boy, if I had a nickel for every time someone asked me that.
Patrick O. Murphy.
Oh, so you went from Italian to Irish, okay.
Oh, you said Italian, sorry. Well, I'm thinking Boston.
Fucking difference?
Even the Italian people there have Irish names.
That's true.
Well, we're definitely...
It to blend in.
We're steering this review straight down to hell, so let's go ahead and bounce over to those final thoughts so we can all get some sleep that we apparently all need.
Right.
Let's, Elliot, just keep on going and give us your final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to add. I think the series is convoluted in the way it presents its information a lot of the time. There's just so much. Too much, perhaps. You know, it's slick, it looks good. If you've seen, this reminded me a lot of the one with the pizza delivery guy and the mechanic.
Oh yeah.
It reminded me a lot more of that one than Tiger King or Making a Murder or anything like that. That one was actually much better though. I thought that, you know, probably because there was much more straightforward. At any rate, you know, this is, if you're a diehard art heist, you know, or maybe an art history major, I'd say watch this. But otherwise, you know, go seek out, I'm sure that there must be a podcast on this that probably does it better. So with that said, I'll probably give this 6.5 out of 10 robberies and yachting.
Nice. Harmony?
I enjoyed it much more, a lot more. I think for me, all the information is presented because they are literally trying to solve the crime and they have run out of ideas. is the impression that I ultimately got. And I think they pretty much said it outright, is that like it's been 30 years. They are no closer today than they were 30 years ago. And so they do this kind of information dump. And being, I like true crime stories, and I guess because I'm a middle-aged woman, but true crime and wine, yay. So like I was really into it, and I it's like, oh, that is definitely not that person, you know, like I was having fun doing that kind of thing. But I think it's probably a show that's targeted towards somebody like me who likes art and likes true crime. So for me personally, I really liked it. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it like an 8 out of 10 Bobbies.
All right. Rose?
Which is only a fraction of the amount Bobby's of Bobbies in the documentary itself. Good Lord. Yeah, everybody was Bobby or Tommy or Tony or something. Hey, you can make a good drinking game out of it.
You would die, but yeah, I could do it.
Yeah, you'd die. So maybe don't do it. Our lawyers have advised us. I thought it was entertaining until it wasn't, because it gets to a point where you feel like you're having to do homework to keep up with all the names, all the family connections, Yeah, it's. I would say this one is for, I don't know, to use video game parlance, completionists only. If you're just really, really, really into this particular heist or art history, yeah, definite recommend. You'll probably be mostly entertained all the way through. But otherwise, yeah, I agree with Elliot. Just seek out a podcast on it or something, or just stop after the first two episodes. That said, it was very slickly produced and, you know, nice to look at, and I'm gonna have to give it a 7.5 stoned museum guards.
I loved that guy.
That guy's the
best.
That
guy was great.
Where is that guy? Is that
guy
dead?
Just casually admitting to doing acid before starting your shift. I mean, why not?
It's like, would you have opened the door? He was like, I might have. I don't know. It's like, you're the most honest man in any documentary I've ever seen.
Yeah.
One other thing that they mentioned in there that I was like, oh, that's so true. That's so valid. Every museum has that one guy. They said there was the older guard that they were like, no, he wouldn't have opened the door, not even for cops. You know, they would have just told him to just wait outside. And I'm like, our museum had that guy too. If Jesus Christ himself showed up in the middle of the night and said, let me into the museum, he'd be like, no, I gotta call my supervisor.
Yeah, I'm definitely closer to where Elliot is, but I think we're all kind of in agreement here that this is not the top tier of the documentaries, even though the story is interesting and the facts are all there and the journalistic integrity is extremely strong. And I do like that, and I love seeing the slightly more analytical way to approach this genre, subgenre, whatever the fuck that true crime has kind of become. But there's just not much of a soul here, and I don't know how to fix that without compromising what it's trying to do with being as thorough as it is. Yeah. Without making it 20 episodes long.
Yeah.
That'd be too much. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be too much. I don't know if there's a great way to tell this story. If there is that podcast, that's probably better, because that's probably going to be 30 to 45 minutes. And you can get all the information and speculate, which is the most fun that this series offers. Because it not only doesn't give you an answer, it doesn't really point you in any concrete direction. Which, again, journalistic integrity. It's really great that they don't do that. It's also less fun. So it depends on how much of a piece of shit you are. If you're like, well, I wish they would have given us somebody to hate.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm going to give this 6.5 out of 10 times I was wishing I was rewatching American Animals.
Oh. Excellent.
So who do you think did it, then?
Elliot.